Hello, and welcome to GCSE Sociology Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most crucial topics for your OCR exam, ethical considerations in research. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ethics sounds dry, right? But here's the thing. This topic is absolutely packed with marks, and once you understand the BSA guidelines, you'll be able to tackle any research methods question with confidence. In the next 10 minutes, we'll cover the five core BSA principles, explore how they clash with research validity, and I'll share some killer exam tips that'll help you pick up those higher level marks. So grab a pen, get comfy, and let's get started. Let's start with the big question. Why do we even need ethical guidelines in sociology? Well, sociologists study real people in real situations, often vulnerable groups like children, victims of crime, or people in poverty. The British Sociological Association, or BSA, created ethical guidelines to protect participants from harm and ensure research is conducted responsibly. And here's the key point for your exam. You must refer to the BSA by name. Don't just say ethical guidelines, say BSA guidelines. That shows AO1 knowledge and immediately signals to the examiner that you know your stuff. So, what are the five core principles? Let's use the acronym ICAPR to remember them. Informed consent, confidentiality, anonymity, protection from harm, and right to withdraw. First up, informed consent. This means participants must fully understand what they're agreeing to before they take part. They need to know the purpose of the research, what will happen to their data, and any potential risks. In your exam, don't write asking permission. Use the precise term informed consent. Examiners love that specificity. Now, informed consent is pretty straightforward with methods like questionnaires or structured interviews. You explain the study, they agree, job done. But what about covert observation? That's where participants don't even know they're being studied. Informed consent becomes impossible, which is why covert methods are so ethically controversial. Next, confidentiality and anonymity. Students often mix these up, so listen carefully. Confidentiality means keeping participants' data private. The researcher knows who said what, but they don't share it. Anonymity means no names are attached to the data at all. Even the researcher can't link responses to individuals. Think of it this way. A confidential interview might have your name on a consent form, but the published research uses a pseudonym. An anonymous questionnaire? No name anywhere. In your exam, if you confuse these two, you'll lose marks. So drill this distinction until it's second nature. Now, protection from harm. This is huge. And here's a common mistake. Students only think about physical harm. But the BSA guidelines explicitly include psychological and emotional harm too. Imagine researching domestic violence survivors. Even if no one gets physically hurt during your interviews, asking traumatic questions could cause serious emotional distress. That's harm. Examiners want to see you identify both types. Also, think about the researcher's safety. If you're doing participant observation in a dangerous setting, that's an ethical issue too. Finally, right to withdraw. Participants must be able to leave the study at any time, no questions asked, and they can request their data be destroyed. This sounds simple, but think about the practical challenges. In a long-term participant observation study, if someone withdraws halfway through, you might lose months of data. And in covert observation, they can't withdraw because they don't know they're in a study. This is another reason covert methods are ethically problematic. Here's where it gets interesting for your exam, the tension between ethics and validity. Imagine you're studying gang behavior. If you tell gang members you're a researcher, they'll change their behavior. That's the Hawthorne effect, where people act differently when they know they're being observed. Your data becomes less valid, but if you go covert and don't get informed consent, you're violating BSA guidelines. So what do? This is the ethics versus validity trade-off, and it's exam gold. In 12 mark questions, examiners want to see you discuss this dilemma. You might write, "While covert observation would yield more valid data by avoiding the Hawthorne effect, it directly violates the BSA principle of informed consent, making it ethically unacceptable despite its methodological advantages." One more thing, vulnerable groups. The BSA guidelines state that extra care must be taken when researching children, people with mental health issues, victims of crime, or anyone in a position of reduced autonomy. Why? Because they may not fully understand what they're consenting to, or they may feel pressured to participate. In your exam, if the source mentions researching children, immediately flag this as requiring enhanced ethical protection. That's an easy mark. All right, let's talk exam strategy. First, command words. If the question says, identify one ethical issue, you need to name it precisely. Lack of informed consent or risk of psychological harm. If it says, explain why this raises ethical concerns, you need to say what the issue is and why it's problematic for this specific research context. Don't be vague. Second, always link ethics to the method and the topic. Don't just write, informed consent is important. Write, in this study of criminal behavior using covert observation, informed consent cannot be obtained because participants are unaware they are being studied, which violates BSA guidelines and raises questions about whether the research should proceed. Third, avoid these common mistakes. Don't say unethical research is illegal. It usually isn't. It just breaks professional guidelines. Don't ignore psychological harm. It's just as important as physical harm. And never, ever write that ethics don't matter if the research is important. Examiners hate that. The BSA guidelines apply to all research, no exceptions. Fourth, in 12-mark questions, structure your answer to show both sides. Paragraph 1, explain the ethical issue. Paragraph 2, explain the impact on research quality or validity. Paragraph 3, evaluate which is more important in this context. That's how you hit the top mark band. Let's test your knowledge. I'll ask 3 questions. Pause the podcast and answer them. Then I'll give you the answers. Question 1. What's the difference between confidentiality and anonymity? Question 2. Name 2 types of harm the BSA guidelines protect against. Question 3. Why is informed consent difficult to achieve in covert participant observation? Okay, here are the answers. 1. Confidentiality means keeping data private. Anonymity means no names attached at all. 2. Physical harm and psychological or emotional harm. 3. Because participants don't know they're being studied, so they can't give consent. How did you do if you got all 3? Brilliant. If not, go back and review those core concepts. All right, let's wrap up. Today we've covered the 5 BSA principles: informed consent, confidentiality, anonymity, protection from harm, and right to withdraw. We've explored how ethical considerations clash with research validity, especially in covert methods, and we've armed you with exam strategies. Use precise terminology, link ethics to specific methods and contexts, and always discuss both physical and psychological harm. Remember, ethics isn't just a box-ticking exercise. It's about protecting real people. But in your exam, it's also about showing the examiner you understand the BSA guidelines and can apply them critically. Master this topic, and you'll pick up marks across the whole research methods section. Thanks for listening to GCSE Sociology Essentials. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.